So I invite you to turn to John chapter 10. John chapter 10. Oh, okay. So that we know what's coming. So I walk in this morning and I'm still surprised. My office is down this middle wing here. And it's warm when I walk in. And it's a good feeling. So... Anyways, the HVAC is in, and so we're grateful to God. We're grateful for those who provided for it, and to Scott Himes and his company worked hard last several weeks. It's all in, and we're very grateful to God for that. We're also grateful for what God's doing in our student ministry. So there were 9 kids that were here last Sunday. They're going to continue on today. The meal is all set, so be praying for them. Some of the kids are here with us, but Kelston Hildebrand and Mike Delp and Bradley Barr are off at a youth retreat this morning at Lake Champion, and I think it's, you call that Lower New York. And so, anyways, you can be praying for them also. And then next Sunday, Lisa Hildebrand, who, by the way, she's our children's director, and she has spent weeks and months with our children on Sundays. As we're praying for more to join in, to volunteer, we need more to help with that ministry. But she's going to be here because she's going to speak on Mother's Day. I haven't asked her yet what she's going to speak on, but I think it's going to have to do with mothers. And she has more experience in that than I. And as you know, Lisa's a very good speaker. And so we look forward to her ministry. She loves to... proclaim God's word. And so that will be next Sunday. Invite the favorite mom or like a mom or children or grandchildren or nieces or nephews or whatever in your life to come along, and we will celebrate our Lord and his gift to us of mothers. And so we look forward to that next Sunday morning. So if you're not already there, please turn to John chapter 10. Oh my goodness, we are moving through the whole PowerPoint somehow. Okay, we'll start there. Okay. Our Lord, we come to you this morning as your sheep, having entered the door through you alone. We're grateful for all that you've done for us to make that possible. The sacrifice that you literally made so that we can commune with you and with our Father in heaven by your Spirit and with one another. So Lord, we ask that you would take these ancient words, apply them by your Spirit. And Lord, may we hear your voice this morning. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. So maybe you remember the story of Pinocchio, and the puppet with the long wooden nose because he didn't tell the truth. And one of the parts that I had to review a little bit was that some bad boys took him to a carnival. And they got him into a lot of trouble, got him to do stuff he shouldn't be doing. And that messed up his whole life, among some other things that he did. It happened because he listened to some bad guides, some boys that were telling him this is the way that life is, and it wasn't that way. He really messed up his little Pinocchio life. And we do that kind of thing too, don't we? We listen to the wrong influences in our lives. Sometimes when we're young, there are other boys and girls. Sometimes when we're older, other kinds of things that come our way, things that come our way out of our pockets. Who knew? Who knew? Those that are trying to influence us right out of our pockets, never mind on the airwaves or in our neighborhoods or in our community or in our world, even within, many even tell, listen within, they say. Some of these guides. And the deeper we look within, sometimes we get into trouble. You see, when Jesus came to a world that was listening elsewhere. And he said, I am your guide. Listen to me. In fact, he said, the way that you come to the Father, he would say later on, is indeed through me. You see, Jesus is the real thing. And some of us have heard a story that Jesus is talking about sheep here and sheep that hear their master's voice, their shepherd's voice. And some of us have heard Scott Barr tell a story. It's not about a sheep, but it's about a dog whom he trained. And I've asked Scott if he would come and tell us that story for some of us once again.
So my two favorite domesticated animals are cows and dogs. I have lots of stories of both. Today I'll tell you a brief one about the dogs, that one I've had in the past. I have told it in some social gatherings, so some of you might have heard this story before. Pastor Lee remembered it, and he made a connection to today's message, so he asked me to share it. So I'm going to tell the story, and then it's up to you to make the connections, okay? So, as I mentioned, I'm a dog lover, and when I was a teenager, I used to raise golden retrievers, puppies, and I also showed them. And I had a dog, her name was Amber, and I would take her to obedience shows. And she was very good at it, I might add. And in it, you know, it would heel, come, stay. They would go to competitions. So, it was actually a social event, and I'll use this sanctuary as an example because the room was actually about this size. It was a social event for dog lovers, and the room was full of people and dogs. It was a party, okay? And as someone who took your dog to obedience shows, you're always looking for opportunities to continue to train. And I think this is a good story about, I tell it because it's a story of the intelligence and loyalty of dogs, which I love. So I thought, good practice time here, Amber. So one of her specialties was stay. And in competition, you'd have to tell them to stay, and they'd have to stay for 20 minutes, and you actually had to leave and come back, hope your dog's still there at the event. So I thought, well, this is good practice. So if I could use this room, I told Amber to stay back at the door by the sound booth, okay? And her instruction is she must not leave unless you say okay, which is a release, or come, which is you call her to you. And so I left her there. And the room had probably as many people as here today, plus a bunch of dogs, so it was a lot of activity. This is a good challenge. So I left her there. She was there for, I don't know, 7 or 8 minutes. She lost track of where I was, and I was over here by the piano talking with a friend, okay? Another friend of mine came in through this door. The room had 4 doors, just like this one. Came in and saw my dog sitting over there where Steve is right now, okay? And they called her, and they did it appropriately. Amber, come. And Amber had lost track. She didn't know where I was. Of course, I knew where she was because I was the one moving around. And I was like, well, this is interesting. She's being properly called, but not by me. What's she going to do? So I watch her, and she does not go to the person. But her ears perk up, and the person said it again. Amber, come. And she wouldn't do it. She's looking around. She's looking for me. And it took her a little while, but across the room diagonally, and you got to imagine, there was kind of a melee between us. Finally, she made eye contact with me. And I'm standing over here, and I really worked this. I still didn't do anything. I just looked at her. And then, after, it was probably 10 seconds, all I did was nod, went, and she ran, not to me, but to the person who called her. I thought, that is so cool. She asked permission from her owner.
Thank you, Scott. Thank you, Scott. So Jesus wasn't talking about dogs, but he's talking about sheep. But he was saying that we are like sheep. And the fact that we can hear our shepherd's voice is proof that he is our shepherd. That he is who he says he is. So have you ever been, say, in a hospital, or you've been somewhere where you're in great need and you sense the Lord's assurance with you? Have you been here in this room and you've sensed God's presence with you? Have you been at home? I was at home yesterday and I was listening to, I don't even remember what it was. There's something that really was not a spiritual anything. I think it was an audio, a song or a video or something. And I sensed God speaking to me. And I came to tears. Jesus says to his sheep, to his people, he said, I am your shepherd. He said, the proof that I am who I am, who I say I am, is that you recognize my voice. God's people in those days had been through some nasty shepherding. In Ezekiel 34, it talks about that those who had taken care of God's sheep or who were called to take care of God's sheep had done a crummy job. They had been all about it for themselves. And so the Lord said, I'm sending a new shepherd. I'm going to send my son, in fact, and my sheep will recognize my voice. Some of us remember the Coca-Cola commercial. I want to see if the kids, if you guys ever heard the Coca-Cola, Coke referred to as the real thing. Have you guys heard that? Okay, good. Because that started like in the 40s. And I think there's maybe one or two of them might remember the 40s here. I don't know. Or might have been around in the 40s, but it's a long time ago. And back in the 40s, Coca-Cola said there's another cola there were all these other colas that were coming out. And they said, wait a minute. We're the real thing. And that became a jingle. It became a billboard. It came out everything because Coca-Cola, don't talk to Pepsi, they wanted us to know that they were the real thing. And that's what Jesus is saying to us here. And he said to his people then, he said, I am the real thing. I am the true voice of the sheep. In fact, what he said is that we as God's people, we cry out within, we cry, Abba. Abba, that was like for us to say, Daddy. Daddy, Daddy, Daddy. We have this communication with Jesus, our shepherd. And it's proof that he is who he says he is. Now, there's lots of competition out there these days. There's been lots of competition out there forever. And what Jesus is saying to them, what he's saying to us is, ignore the competition. Go to him, come to him, be confident in him and in his voice, because he is the real thing. And our confidence in him, because we hear his voice, means that we'd be confident that he will lead us to good pasture. You see, there's lots of substitutes out there. One of our kids, when they were growing up, came back home and they said, I had an substitute teacher today. And so that became a family joke. You had an substitute teacher, that we still talk about today. But he was really glad when the substitute was gone and teachers among us, he was really glad when the real teacher came back. And there's lots of substitute shepherds out there. They jumped in over the wall, Jesus said. And they had something to say, but they were really selfish and uncaring and harmful to you. And it was that way in Israel. All these aptitude shepherds were out there giving God's people a hard time because really they had something. They wanted it. They wanted to abuse them. They were taking advantage of them for themselves. And it was that way then. It's that way now. There's those that want us to listen to them. And the truth of the matter is that there's something in it for them. When we pick up our phone and when we click on something, there's something called an algorithm that sends a money or something. I don't know. It goes back and back. It builds up followers. People builds up somebody's political following. There's things that people get because we're following them. But some of these are not good. Not good for us. That's what we need to do is identify especially the bad shepherds, the fake shepherds out there. Tim Keller talked about four of these, I would call them fake shepherds that we go after. One of them is the God, the comfortable shepherd. The shepherd that says, you've always got to be comfortable. And so we run after that. You know, life is all about comfort. And so we're going to do everything to be comfortable and to be entertained. And where they lead us is the fear of being bored. We can't take joy in the everyday blessings of life because we're afraid of being bored. And they say, well, no, you can't be bored. You can't be bored. Follow me. And so that everything will be comfortable. You have the best this, you have the best that, you have the hottest phone, and everything will be well, don't you know? That's a false shepherd. That's a fake one. That's a bad shepherd. Another one is the shepherd of approval. So follow me, and if you just do what I say to do, then you'll be approved. And we'll live our lives. We're just running and from doing anything, being anything that won't meet the approval of others around us. And what a terrible way that is to live. Another one is the whole area of control, the shepherd of control. You got to be in control, this shepherd says, this bad shepherd. And if we're not in control and we'll do crazy things to be in control, it's then that we just get worried and anxious about everything because we're not in charge. Another one, the last one he talks about is the whole area of power, of gathering power for ourselves or for those whom we care about. And the bad shepherd says, well, you gotta have power. You gotta have might. You gotta be strong. The problem is that, we're not almighty. And when we find out that we're not, then we get mad. Jesus says, forget about these absolute shepherds. Forget about them. Forget about even the ones even the religious ones. You know, my calling, the old term for what I do as your pastor and elders and others that care in our congregation is under shepherd. Okay? And so what an under shepherd means, we point to the good shepherd, to the great shepherd. We point to him. And in everything that we do, we point to him. We do all that we can to have a quality worship service, to have quality programs. We're excited about some of the things that God is doing. We have good community groups. Those are all good things. We hope and pray that we have good people that are leading here. But you know what? It's not about us. It's not about the programs and not about the style of music that we may or may not have. All of this is meant to get us to the shepherd. Any other direction is buying into the values of our age and of our humanity. All of this is meant to point us to Jesus, the Good Shepherd. It's Christ that we meet with and that we go to. The goal is to get to Jesus. He says in verses 9 and 10 that he is the door to good shepherd, to good pasture. This was an outrageous statement for those who were leading. Now, in those days, if they were out in the field, the sheepfold would be like a stone wall. You know, the shepherds, or it might have been a cave. And there was no door like this or no gate like this at the edge of a stone, of an old stone wall, or by the edge of a cave. And so what would happen is the shepherd would lie down in the opening, and he became the door or the gate. Now Jesus is talking to the people of God. He's just told them that they have bad shepherds. And he says, I am the gate. I am the door. He said, if you'll come in through me, he says, then you can go in and you can go out and you'll have good pasture. He says, that's the way that you get in. It is through me. And he says that through me, he said that you can have abundant life. And so he says, well, whereas those bad shepherds said, you know, that your life needs to be all about being comfortable. He said, if you come through me, he said, you can have peace. No matter what your situation. He said, those bad shepherds are saying that everything that you need to live so that you have the approval of everybody, so that you please everybody. He said, if you come through me, he said, you'll know that I love you and that you are loved no matter what you do or don't do. He said, whereas those bad shepherds are saying that your life needs to be all about control. You need to get everything under control. He said, if you'll come to me, he said, you'll find out that I am a good shepherd that blesses you, that gives you more than you need, that takes care of all of your needs, because all of your needs are met in me. He said, whereas those bad shepherds, they tell you that you need to get control, that you need to have power over everything, that you need to be, that might makes right. He said, if you come through me, he said, you'll know that what I give you is my life within you, that I create in you, that I give you my righteousness for your righteousness, which didn't work out, and that my character can be shaped, can live, that I can live my life in and through you. And he said, that is good shepherd, or is good pasture. But what I've come to give you, he said, is life in my name. That's what John talked about at the end of his gospel. That if we put our faith in Christ, that we can life in him. He says, I'm giving you what Moses wrote about is a difference between life and death. I'm bringing you shalom. I'm bringing you this wholeness of life. Life where everything flows out from me. Life that is full and that is full of gusto and that is joyful. Jesus, in John's gospel, talks about these seven I ams. You remember the one that we began with, the talk where Jesus said that I am the bread of life. He just fed 5,000 families, a stadium or two full of people, with just a few loaves of bread from a little boy. And he said, this is an object lesson. He said, if you just come to me, he says, like a good loaf of bread can satisfy you for the afternoon. He said, I can satisfy you for all of life. He said, I'm the light of the world. He said, This world is a dark place. But he said, if you come to me, I'm the one who said, let there be light, and there was light. He said, and I can be that one that is like a flashlight through life, like the psalmist talks about, that can show you your way through a dark world until you come to me at the end of human history, and I am the light, that there will be no need for a light in that kingdom. He says, I'm the door. He said, which we'll look at next week, he said that I am the good shepherd, the one that David talked about in Psalm 23. He said, I am that one. I'll guide you through all of life. He said, I'm the resurrection and the life. On Easter, we celebrated that truth. He's the one who gives us life. He's the one who raised Lazarus from the dead, but then he raised himself from the dead, because he is the one that gives us physical life. He's the one that gives us spiritual life. He's the one that gives us eternal life. And in fact, as he says in John 14:6, I am the way, I'm the truth, I'm the life. Nobody comes to the Father except through me. In fact, he says, with that picture that the Jewish community used for centuries of a vine representing their nation and their kingdom, he said, I'm the true vine. And he says, you are the branches. He says, you connect to the Father through me. He said, you connect to one another through me. He said, you are the one that I give spiritual sustenance to. I'm the true vine, he said, and I and you are the branches. When our kids were growing up, we lived in southern Maine off of Sebago Lake. And we could walk down to the second biggest lake in the state. It was pretty sweet. And so I decided to take the kids fishing a number of times. And my clearest memory of fishing with our kids, because I didn't know how to fish, was holding 3 fishing rods in my hands while they climbed some trees. And they said, Dad, we never catch any fish. So I decided it was time to go back to the drawing board. And there was a young man named Alan, whom we knew, who'd been a fishing guide. And he said, sure, I'll take you out. So he took us out in his boat into this little pond. And when we got to the other side of that pond, all of a sudden we were catching fish. I don't know how he did it, but Alan was a good fishing guide. And Jesus says, if you come to me, he says, I am the best of guides. And he said, I will guide you through all of life. That's true for us in our private lives. It's true for us in our church life. It's true for us in our homes. It's true for us in our vocations. It's true for the church of God throughout our nation and throughout the world. If we will come to the Lord, then he will guide us through all of life. It's time to dump those other guides. Those other guides, whether they be within us or in the world around us, they're cheap imitations. And if we follow them, then we're going to get bored. And we're going to get anxious. And we're going to be afraid. And we're going to be angry. But if we follow Jesus, we'll get to good pasture. In Jesus, we will find comfort. We will find love. We will find blessing. And we will find the character of Christ being recreated within us and through us as Christ lives within. You see, good pasture is not something that we should hold to ourselves. There's a wonderful, wonderful life that we know in Jesus. It's the difference between life and death. Let's invite others to know him. Let's invite others everywhere to know him. Let's bring others through the door that they might know him and might know the life that we have in Jesus.